looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I believe it's...
He did an outstanding job again. He battled with his control for a little bit there, but then he was able to make pitches. He's been good for a while. Fastballs inside, outside, up in the zone, using his changeup. And they got some good hitters on that side, and he was able to go six and give us a chance to win.
That's Red Sox manager Alex Cora talking about David Price. David Price, who got another win last night against the Angels. The Red Sox absolutely drilled the Angels at Fenway Park last night. 9-1 was your final score. I think the running total now on the Red Sox-Angels games, 36-4, I believe, this season when the Red Sox have played the Angels. They'll play again tonight at Fenway Park. Excuse me, 617-779-0985. We'll open up the phone lines right away. But I want to start with David Price. Because, again, of late... Boy, the results, indisputable. In his last 9 starts, the Red Sox are 8-1 when Price pitches. Price himself is 7-1 during that span. He's got one no decision. He's been awesome all over. I mean, last night I actually thought he had to grind his way through that game a little bit. A lot of at bats where he got behind in the count. Ball was kind of all over the place there in a couple of innings, in the middle innings. He couldn't find the strike zone, all of it. Price was good. But it's not really last night's game that I want to talk about with David Price. It's the next one. It's the next one. Which brings me to an exchange that Price had following the game last night with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Bedard was there to cover the game at Fenway Park. Apparently it was a night off for Sean McAdam, who deserves it given that he's like a one-man show on that beat now. Believe me, I tell you, covering baseball, no picnic if you're doing it every night. So Bedard was over there, had a little exchange with Price after the game last night. Here is how it went.
David, hey, looking forward to Sunday night at the Yankee Stadium, that challenge?
I don't think I'll be able to go, so I don't think so.
Fortnite?
Yeah, Fortnite.
I mean, so Bedard asked him really kind of an innocuous, harmless question. Are you looking forward to the next one, to Sunday night? Sunday night, Price is going to face the Yankees in New York against Luis Severino. It's the finale of that 3-game series, and based on how this year has gone anyway, in all probability, could be the swing game in the series. You know, really, the way the Red Sox and the Yankees have gone all year, Red Sox start out 17-2, the Yankees catch fire, close the gap. Since then, I don't think either team has ever been up by more than 2 games. I think it's been kind of nip and tuck the whole way. So now they're going to play head-to-head. Price gets the finale on ESPN against Severino, and we all know what happened the first 2 times Price faced the Yankees, or was supposed to face the Yankees. The first time, numbness in the fingers, cold weather, couldn't go to the mound. We thought it was because of cold weather. The next time, the team was getting prepared to go to New York, Price couldn't make that start either. This time, because of carpal tunnel syndrome. So now Price is, I think, joking about it, but maybe not, because he resents everything that comes along with playing in Boston. He resents the expectations that he has to, he resents the intensity of it, frankly. He resents the fact that baseball is serious here, or that sports is serious, and he resents that he has to go out there and answer for everything he says and does, even though he has the richest pitching contract in the history of the game. So I don't know what Price was expecting. When he took a $217 million contract and came to Boston to pitch. But beating the Yankees was near the top of the list. Winning a World Series, getting into the playoffs, beating the Yankees, all of those right there at the top of the list. And in the case of the bigger picture goals, like winning the World Series, you got to beat the Yankees to do it. And he misses the first 2 games of the year against New York because of hand problems or gaming problems or I don't know what, and then gets agitated when someone asks him about having a chance to face the Yankees again on Sunday. I know I keep saying this. I know I say it over and over and over again. But David Price, really, what's your problem? What is it? Is it really that bad that you have to show up and actually be an adult and go to work and do your job? Is it really that bad? Because if you want, you can give back the money at the end of the year. You can opt out, and then you can go pitch in Kansas City, Tampa, wherever the hell you want to go pitch where there's no expectation. And you can play all the video games you want because no one will give a rat's ass. So have a blast. Really, you can do all of that. If that's what you want, that's what you can do. 617-779-0985. I want to get to a couple of other things, likely later in the show. But Jackie Bradley, 3 hits last night, has had back-to-back 3-hit games. An unbelievable statistic I heard about Mike Trout that I want someone to verify for me. And the Red Sox signed an infielder today, which we should get to right now because I believe in giving you the news. It is the way many of you still get information. And so the Red Sox today signed Brandon Phillips to a minor league contract. Jim Murray, is there actually a release on that, on the Brandon Phillips signing?
Let me look. Not that I've seen. I've just seen the beat people that have had it.
Okay, so Brandon Phillips, for those of you who are baseball fans, you know who he is. He is he's an accomplished major league player. I mean,
he's mostly been a second baseman, right?
Yes. I mean, I think almost exclusively, Murray. I know he came up initially as a shortstop, but ended up at second base, began his career with Cleveland. I think he was in that big Bartolo Colon deal years ago, and this goes back many, many years, where the Indians traded Colon to the Expos and got a ton of prospects, and one of them was Brandon Phillips. Like, if you were to go back and look up this trade just quickly, they got Cliff Lee. Remember that left-hander? Cliff Lee, Brandon Phillips.
Grady Sizemore?
Maybe Grady Sizemore, Jimmy. You might be right. And there was a left-handed hitting first baseman. Like, oh, God.
Was it Lee?
Travis Lee?
Travis Lee?
Or, in any case, it was a steal for the Indians. Okay? Lee Stevens. That's what it was. The Brandon Phillips in his career, .275 average. 740 OPS. Early in his career, he could run pretty well. By the end of it, not so much. Last year, he played combined for the Braves and the Angels. He hit .285 with a .735 OPS, 13 home runs. He's a 4-time Gold Glove winner at second base. I don't know if he can still play or not. I have no idea. But the idea of bringing him in should tell you two things, one more than the other. Dustin Pedroia is in trouble. We told you this a year ago when he had to have the knee surgery. That microfracture surgery, that is hardly a given in terms of being able to come back and play effectively. So you may not see Dustin Pedroia this year, and Eduardo Nunez and Brock Holt are not the answers. So we'll see. The Red Sox clearly have limited means at this trading deadline, and so trading for a second baseman is not on their list. They signed Brandon Phillips. So they're gonna have some stopgap answers here among the needs that they try to fill at the deadline. Some of the solutions for them are going to be solutions like this. And I don't mind it. I wouldn't put second base at the top of the list in terms of things the Red Sox have to do. Brandon Phillips could help them out. Let's see if he can still play. It's not a bad gamble. At the same time, I would tell you, don't hold your breath. Okay, usually these guys that haven't played in a while, a lot of them don't pan out. 617-779-0985. Brad is in a car. Brad, what do you got?
Hey, Maz. How's it going?
Good. How about you?
Not too bad. So, I don't know. I was thinking we need Britton, but it might be a little too much. I've been thinking we just need a reliever. I'm still in my take bunker that we need to trade for someone. I know you said JBJ's not enough. Swihart's not enough. I think we got to package a couple of those guys. I think we're a little heavy, honestly, on left-handed starting pitching. Maybe even talk Eduardo into a trade, even though he's been our best pitcher. But I think we need to trade for a reliever. Maybe Brad Hand out in San Diego. There's a Glacius guy in Cincinnati. I don't know how you guys think about that.
Okay, so Brad, look, I would still put a reliever at the top of the list. And the reason why this ties into the Phillips story is that the Red Sox only have a limited number of resources to deal. They're not going to be able to trade for a reliever and a second baseman and whatever else that they need, a right-handed hitting outfielder. They're not going to be able to do all of these things. Okay, they're not. Now, one thing I want to look up with Phillips is how he hit against left-handed pitching last year, so maybe I can venture to do that here during the break. But the Red Sox don't have the resources to make all these deals. They just don't. So if they're going to go after higher-profile, bigger-name players, they're really going to be only be able to make, if they can do that, one deal. They just don't have a ton of prospects to deal, so they're going to have to try to find creative ways to fill some of their other holes. If Brandon Phillips can play at all, and I'm not asking him to be as good as he was in the prime of his career, how could you possibly ask that? But if he's got anything at all akin to what he had last year when he hit .285 with a .735 OPS, I'll take it. I'll take it. And so will the Red Sox, because Phillips can play the position. He can play second base. And then beyond that, he can probably give him a little bit of offense too, and that's never a bad thing. 617-779-0985. Speaking of offense, guess who is starting to hit and might be giving us his standard one hot month of the season? We'll talk about him next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Good count for Jackie. It's a high fly ball into left field. Upton's back on the track, turning now. And that ball gets out. It's gone. It carried just enough into the monster seats. And the Red Sox have a 6-1 lead.
Another big game for Jackie Bradley last night. Second one in a row. This one, three hits with a home run opposite field above the left field wall. Monster seats. Mookie Betts had an opposite field home run, too, last night, by the way. Did you catch that one, Murray? I'm surprised no one rubbed my face on that one yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mookie Betts hit the bullpens yesterday. Maybe something's changing there. Maybe something's changing there. It's now, I don't know. You know, honestly, I saw it happen, and I said, I wonder if the wind was blowing out. It's the first thought I had. Seriously, for Mookie Betts to hit those bullpens like he did, I wonder if the wind was blowing out. In the interim, 617-779-0985. We will take your calls here. Bob is in Methuen. Haven't heard from him in a while, I don't think. Bob, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. Just want to touch a couple of points on David Price and how it's going to affect the Red Sox going forward. I do think a lot of what he says and how he conducts himself basically is a reflection of what goes on in that clubhouse. I do think there's a lot of Sox players that are not happy playing baseball here. And here's how I want to put this, Tony, from what I've seen this year. I think the Yankees play baseball, the Red Sox work baseball. At least that's how it seems to me.
Well, look, so Bob, I think there's some truth to that. The market's not for everybody. Okay, now, I don't know whether what Price says is a reflection of how other guys feel in there or not. But if we're talking about the young guys on this team, Mookie Betts hasn't signed. I don't think Xander Bogaerts is going to sign because he has Boris. Bradley hasn't signed. Not that necessarily they would want to do something there. So maybe some of these young guys do find it a burden to play here. Maybe they do. And I found it interesting, too. There was a comment that Alex Cora made here in the last day or so, and it was in a story written by Tom Verducci in Sports Illustrated. The story was actually about J.D. Martinez. And Cora was talking about the leadership that Martinez has provided. And one of the things, in talking about some of the young guys on the team, excuse me, he said, Mookie's pretty quiet, and we have a shortstop who doesn't know how good he can be. And I sort of, you know, and I throw Bogaerts into this discussion because it's, I think there's a little bit of a dig there. I don't think Cora meant it that way. But I think when you look at it, you say, part of the problem with Bogaerts is he doesn't realize how good he can be and should be. And I would say David Price sort of has a similar issue. Betts feels to me like suddenly he's on a mission. Brandon's in Arlington. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, Tony. Price is a $30 million pitcher, and every big game he has, he seems like his carpal tunnel like flares up on him. Do you think it's going to get any better this year? Do you think he'll be consistent? He'll get out of the contract?
Yeah, so Brandon, look, I don't know whether he's going to opt out or not. I have a hard time believing he will. Given all of his issues, I can't imagine that all of a sudden he'll get to the end of the year and he'll give up $130 million or whatever is left on his deal. I mean, it's a big number that's left. So to me, I'd be shocked if that happens. The consistent part, let's get him out on the mound against New York before we make any sort of significant determination. Okay, let's get him out on the mound against New York for a game and see if he can sustain what he's doing there. He pitched well against the Yankees last year before his elbow flared up. So as much as Price jokes about it, saying that he's not going to be able to take the mound on Sunday night, I'll believe it when he's out there.
I mean, for right now, though, you are getting consistency out of him. I mean, really, the only loss, that loss that he had here in this last stretch of nine games or whatever, he just didn't even get enough run support against Minnesota. So he has been consistent. Still, how can you not expect the other shoe to drop with this guy at some point between now and the end of the season?
I mean, he's had nine starts in a row where he's allowed three runs or fewer. Okay, that's a good run. I mean, really, nine starts, that's like a quarter of the season. It's pretty good. Niles is in Revere. Go ahead, Niles.
Tony, just like you were saying, he has been, David Price is criticizing him.
I will take over, Niles, for Tony here for the moment. He had to run out of the room. If you weren't listening in the afternoon show, it was revealed towards the end that Maz is going to be undergoing a procedure over the next couple of days, which has required him to spend a lot of time in the bathroom between now and said procedure. So, in the interim, yours truly, Big Jim Murray here, jumping in here on the Baseball Reporters. I'll say this. Why do I continue to bash David Price? It's a couple of things. It's the petulant, childish behavior, the martyr complex that you see continuing after games like last night, where he's just acting like too much of a baby. Like, on the one end, look, he's certainly free to jab at those of us in the media and fans that bash him. I certainly disagree with that. His comments last night were a joke and that he was just having fun with it. I just think that he continues to kind of be a pain in the ass here, and he hates it here, and he hates us, and he hates, I think, the whole Boston experience. So until that goes away, I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry. I'm going to continue to do the stupid impersonation on the Felger and Maz show and continue to bash him and root against him because I'm not a fan of the player's behavior. But if all of what we're doing and the bashing of him and the stupid impersonation is helping to have him pitch the way he's pitched here in the last nine games that he has played, and including the playoffs last season, then, I think that, you know, there's a correlation there mentally somehow, and I'm not going to stop, and nor should anybody else. I just don't like I don't like the guy. I don't like the attitude. He's the one that, you know, had a hair across his ass from the get-go. David Price, please. 617-779-0985. Jim Murray stepping in here in the interim of the Baseball Reporters. Maz indisposed. There was a signing today. The Red Sox bringing in Brandon Phillips on a minor league deal. Some conflicting reports as to whether or not Phillips is going to be playing second base or third base. Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports following this news saying that a source tells him Phillips is going to be playing third base for the Red Sox at AAA. Second source says no connection between his signing and the Dustin Pedroia situation. That I find hard to believe. And if he is going to be playing third base, what's that? The first thing you got to think of is what's that mean for Rafael Devers? Does that mean that now Rafael Devers could be on the trade block? Let's go to, Brian in the car on the Brandon Phillips signing. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hey, Brian.
You literally just took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to ask you what your opinion was of what does that mean for Devers now. I don't know if that means he's going to swap to DH, move JD to the outfield. I just kind of wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, Brandon, and thanks for the call. Look, I didn't know anything about him playing third base in Pawtucket until I just saw this tweet from Rosenthal within like the last 5 or 10 minutes. Maz, I'm not sure if you saw this, but the Brandon Phillips signing today, Ken Rosenthal had a tweet, says a source said to him, Phillips going to be playing third base for the Sox at AAA Pawtucket. How do you not think about Devers there? And maybe that means he's going to be expendable. Now, granted, Phillips hasn't played in minors or majors this year. He was last with the Angels last year. I don't think you can expect a lot of him offensively, but how can you not think that that means he's going to be on the trading block?
So I don't look at it as a trade because I have a hard time believing that they're going to move Devers, Murray. I just think they value the kid too much. But do me a favor, if you would, both either Jimmy Stewart or Murray. What is Devers actually batting against left-handed pitching this year? If we could check that out. Because, look, the Red Sox have had a problem with left-handed pitching. last night was one of the exceptions. They beat the crap out of that guy. They'll get another lefty tonight. And Phillips hits left-handed pitching. He hits both. I also think he gives him some versatility because they know he can play second. They know he can play second base.
225.
Devers is 225 against lefties?
Yeah.
Well, that's better than I thought. I thought it was going to be a lot worse. But I think that they've had some frustration with Devers in terms of him trying to jack the ball all the time, that they're having getting impatient there. So what Phillips could do is give them, I didn't even think about third base, but it's a good point. Phillips could give him some versatility there. You want to play him at third and sit Devers against lefties, you do that. If Pedroia's knee doesn't come back, then Phillips could play second base. He could help him out there. Like, the guy can play multiple positions, and he was a Gold Glover four times. I think all of his Gold Gloves were at second base. Okay, but he can field, man. In his prime, he could. He was a terrific defensive player.
Either way, I feel like it just feels ominous in that, that he's going to end up being probably, their second baseman more often than not, because it feels like Pedroia's not going to be back if he's going to be playing there. Nunez is giving you nothing offensively, and even he's been a butcher defensively at times. But if it means he's going to be playing third, well, okay, does that mean that it's going to be Devers on the trading block for Manny Machado, then Machado comes in, he can play third, and then Phillips goes over to second? It just feels like something's happening with this move here.
So look, you might be right. Maybe they are willing to move Devers. Again, I'd be surprised if they did it. I told you I would do it. When the idea of moving someone like Devers and getting either Machado or Machado and Britton in one deal, like that I would do. Straight up, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. But if you can fill two holes by moving Devers, you've got enough invested in this team as it is. So what are you going to do? You're going to get to the point where, you have so much invested in one team, it's really a 2 or 3 year window or a 3 year window. You're going to get a chance to win a championship, and all of a sudden you're going to stop because what? You're going to mortgage your future? What future? The Red Sox don't have a future. They have no minor league system. Dave Dombrowski has ripped it apart. So to me, I would make that kind of deal. I don't think they will, though. And my guess is that Phillips will give them the versatility to use him either way. So at third, if they don't like what Devers is doing against lefties, even maybe to replace Devers in certain late-inning situations, because defensively, let's face it, he's an adventure. Maybe to play second if Pedroia comes back. Like, you'll find a way to use Brandon Phillips. You'll find a way to use him if that's the case.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So again, I don't know what it means in the long term, but the Red Sox have signed Brandon Phillips to a minor league contract. Brandon Phillips, former second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. I think he made some all-star teams too with Cincinnati. Won 4 Gold Gloves. He has been signed. He will play at Pawtucket. And Kenny Rosenthal tweeted a short time ago, Kenny Rosenthal of The Athletic, that Phillips will be playing third base at Pawtucket. Third base. Now, I'll check and see whether or not Phillips has played much third in the big leagues, but he's been a middle infielder his whole career. He came up as a shortstop, played second in the big leagues, and he was a good defensive player. Always has been. He was, in his prime, was ridiculous in the middle of the infield. But whether the Red Sox see him as a third baseman or a second baseman, my answer is they probably see him as both. I think that they see Phillips and say, well, if he can play third, then he can fill in for Devers from time to time against left-handed pitching. If he plays second, we have some insurance there if Pedroia doesn't come back. Before I get back to your calls, the stat I heard on Mike Trout last night, and I keep talking about it because it's ridiculous. Trout became a regular full-time player in 2012. He came up at the end of 2011. But since the start of the 2012 season, he has never gone 3 games without reaching base. 3 straight games, if you can believe that. Never more than 2 without reaching base. And I just did a quick search on this on my own, and I think it's legit, but I would like someone to verify it for me. I find that to be unbelievable. You want to talk about the guy who's a model of consistency? Has never played a three-game series where he has failed to reach base. Think of it in those terms. That is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. We'll get back to your calls. And Adam, who's in Beverly, go ahead, Adam.
Hey, I just want to talk about the people who are calling in defending David Price. It doesn't make any sense to me. He's the highest paid player or highest paid pitcher on the team. However, he only is consistent when he gets to pick and choose which opponents he's pitching against. He's got a delivery that isn't fundamentally sound. Therefore, when his adrenaline gets going in the postseason, that's why he crumbles. And he's missed half the time that he's been with the Red Sox, so it seems like we're paying him $2 million a win. So I don't understand why anyone wants to defend him. And I think the best case scenario is that he opts out and maybe signs the button for Kraft's fantasy team up there.
All right, Adam, you're breaking up. I didn't make out that last part. But look, the reason why people defend him is because they want the team to do well. I mean, that one's pretty simple, right? They want the laundry. Yeah, they want the team to do well. They've invested a lot of money in this team. They've invested a lot of resources in this team, let alone Price. And when I say resources, they've traded away minor leaguers to make a run at a World Series, and they need Price to do it. Price is a critical component. If David Price pitches well, let alone October, even if he pitches well in the regular season, they're a different team. This is the first time ever, I say ever, in 2 years, that the Red Sox have had Price and Sale healthy at the same time. So, look, they're on pace for 100-and-something wins. It's largely because those two guys are close to, you know, I don't want to say automatic wins, because with Sale, the run support has been an issue. But when they go to the mound in the last month and a half, 2 months even, you're pretty much guaranteed of getting a good start and you have a good chance to win. And they're 9-1 8-1 in the last 9 starts for Price. That's hard to beat. Rich is in a car. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, just your 2 cents on Tony La Russa and his purpose here at Fenway. What exactly does he do, and is he having any influence on Alex Cora? And what's your dealings with him in general? Your opinion.
So, Rich, it's a good question. I mean, but my sense is that he's here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to be there as a sounding board for Cora when he needs him. We had Cora on the show early in the season, and Cora said that he spoke with La Russa daily. I don't know whether that is still going on. Have I seen any sort of, you know, obvious sign of La Russa's influence? I have not. Maybe you have. I have not. And, you know, we won't know about Cora, by the way, and his ability to manage in pressure spots in games until late in the year. Okay, he's going to make his mistakes now, and he already has. We picked him apart a million times on some of the pitching decisions. If he's still making these mistakes at the end of the year, you should be worried. Francona made mistakes at the beginning of his first season, too. By the end of the year, he had tightened it up. Brandon is in a car on Brandon Phillips. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, Maz, first time, long time. I just want to say that I feel like Brandon Phillips is more of a replacement for Eduardo Nunez, since he's obviously doing nothing, and it seems like every other game he's taken up a DH position. And also, Big Jim, I love your impersonation of David Price almost as much as your impersonation of Bane on the weekends.
Thanks, Brandon.
I'll hang up and hear what you guys say.
Appreciate that, Brandon, very much. And I'll keep doing it as long as it keeps motivating him to pitch better.
So, look, if you want to tell me that Brandon Phillips is here for Eduardo Nunez, fine. I mean, whatever it is, they're looking for more infield help. Okay, now, Phillips' ability to play multiple positions, and let me just look quickly to see if I can find whether he has played any third base in his career. I'd be willing to bet he has, because a guy like him, he has played 25 games at third base in his career. That was last season. I'm sorry, just last season he played 25 games at third base. So, Phillips can move around. I don't think there's any real limitation there in his ability to play multiple positions. And again, it sort of solves a couple of problems for you. It gives you some additional depth at second base if Pedroia doesn't come back, and I wouldn't hold your breath on Pedroia. And if you want to play him at third against some left-handed pitching and get Devers out of the lineup, you could do that. So it gives you the chance of having Pedroia and Phillips in the lineup at the same time. Now, again, Kenny Rosenthal, The Athletic, has tweeted that, according to a source, Murray, is that what he said? He credited to a source?
Yes, yeah. One more time. Here it is. Brandon Phillips will play third base for Red Sox at AAA. Second source says no connection between his signing and Pedroia's situation. Phillips, however, certainly offers team protection for Pedroia and Nunez.
Okay, because everyone, the guy can play second base. I mean, I don't think there's any gray area there, so maybe they want to get him some additional work at third.
And judging by his other tweets, Ken Rosenthal's, he's in town tonight, so, I mean, who are these sources? It's Dave Dombrowski and, you know, probably Alex Cora, if I had to guess.
So I wonder, too, though, whether it's the agent.
All right.
I'll tell you why. Or actually, you know what? It could be Dombrowski because that makes sense, too. They don't want to make it look like they are counting Pedroia out. Right? They don't want to make it look like that. But the reality is, if you look at Pedroia's situation, how could you think that he's going to give you a lot of games? Pedroia might be done.
That's how it feels.
He might be done. I hate to break that to people, but it might be over.
I mean, after all that rehab, he lasted, what, a week? Not even?
Exactly right. And the surgery he had is not the kind of thing that, to me, you play around with. Who is the, and I know it's apples to oranges because it's a different sport, but the tight end the New York Giants had, Ballard?
Oh, Jake Ballard, yeah.
You remember the Patriots picked him up?
He was a Patriots killer. Yeah.
You know what surgery he had?
That's the same
one Pedroia did.
And he was never the same.
And
he never played again. Yeah, you're right.
Right? He never played again. It was that microfracture surgery. He didn't come back from it. And a lot of guys don't. Bob's in the car. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Maz. How are you?
Good.
So, I could care less about David Price. I hope he wins the Cy Young. I hope they win the World Series. And I hope he opts out and goes elsewhere. I could care less. Rosny Castillo, I know he's not on the 40-man roster. So if money is not an issue, which was why they released Hanley, and I know, if I'm pretty certain, that he has to clear waivers, Castillo, to get back on the 40-man roster.
Well, that might be true, but it is a money issue, Bob, and here's why. Because when they add him back to the 40, his money would count against the luxury tax, and he would put them over. They don't want to bring him up to do that.
Okay, so that being the case, if Pedroia is out for the year, which in all likelihood he is, don't they get relief from that $11 million contract?
They do not.
Oh. Well, I still...
So listen, you're thinking...
They're making enough money. They're making enough money over there, okay, that they can pay the luxury tax and bring up this kid that's getting paid $11 million and see if he can cut the mustard again.
Okay, so Bob, again, it's not solely about the money, though. If they go over 237, they're already in the luxury tax. They're paying it already. 237 puts them into another bracket where they start giving up draft picks. And when I say giving them up, not giving them away entirely, but they would drop 10 spots in the first round. So in their case, I think they would drop out of the first round and into the second because they are obviously they're going to pick at the end of the first round. So there are other penalties that come along with it. It's not quite as simple as you are making it out to be. I agree with you. The Red Sox have plenty of money. But listen, they've spent plenty of money on this team. I'm also not a big believer in Castillo. If I were a big believer in Castillo, I'd probably feel differently. But I'm not, so I don't. So I don't know how they're going to solve all their problems. Again, for a team with that kind of payroll and their number of wins, they have a surprising number of issues. They do. How they fix them all, I don't know.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.